Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. It is time to ask the doctors. Kids back in school buildings, the weather's going to get colder, which is going to push more people inside, and so many questions about these new updated COVID-19 boosters, which are rolling out across Massachusetts. Just a reminder, Pfizer's updated booster is authorized for people 12 and over. Moderna's is authorized for people 18 and older. But what about timing, efficacy? What does it protect against? Well, we are going to ask the doctors now. Dr. Sabrina Asumu is infectious disease specialist at Boston Medical Center and an assistant professor at Boston University School of Medicine. And Dr. Shira Durone is an epidemiologist at Tufts Medical Center and an associate professor at Tufts University School of Medicine. Dr. Asumu, welcome back.
Thank you for having me on.
And Dr. Durone, welcome back to you as well.
Wonderful to be back.
So Dr. Asumu, I'm going to start by kind of situating us. As of our last available data, which was September 6th, there were 6,623 new COVID cases here in the Commonwealth. That's a lot lower than we've been at some peaks, but it's a little higher than, say, March. We had 166 patients primarily hospitalized with COVID-19, 57 new confirmed deaths due to COVID in that week. How does that seem to you in terms of the arc of where we are with this illness? And does it reflect what you're seeing at Boston Medical Center?
Yeah, no, this is an important question. And, you know, with the data that we have right now, it's a little bit hard to estimate and know exactly what is going on. Given that we're not testing as much as we used to, and we know that a lot of the testing is occurring in the home setting through rapid testing, which is actually a good thing, and is not reported, is a little bit hard to know what to do with the reported cases. But the good point in the data that I like to use is the wastewater, because it does not depend on people testing. And if you look at some of the recent data, our wastewater numbers are going up. So that tells me that there's probably a little more transmission that I would like in the community. But when we take the longest view, you know, if we look at compared to the spring of 2020, we're definitely in a better place. But what these data are telling me is that this is a time when we will need to be cautious.
So Dr. Durone, as you know, we invite our listeners who belong to our texting club to ask questions of the doctors. And for those who want to join that club, text the word Boston to 617-766-0382. Again, to get started, text the word Boston to 617-766-0382. We got a voicemail from Elaine in Cambridge, and I want to give you her question.
Now that there are few restrictions, I still have concerns about catching COVID. I always wear a mask when I go to indoor public spaces, but I'm still concerned about catching COVID there as well, since many other people aren't wearing masks. And so I wonder if the doctors can assuage my concerns.
Can you assuage her concerns, Dr. Durone?
Well, you know, I hope that I can assuage concerns, and this is what I try to do when people express the same concerns to me, is that our vaccines are a miracle of modern medicine, and if you are up to date on your vaccines, you are very well protected against the worst part of the virus, which is that it used to put us in the hospital and kill us. And that if you're immunocompromised, we have additional protections, namely the monoclonal antibody Evusheld, which you can take as a preventative. And that if you do get COVID-19 and you have any risk factors at all, we have treatments, in particular Paxlovid, which you can take as an oral pill at home. And so we have so many of these different layers of protection that we use that has really decreased the risk associated with COVID-19. Now, if you are going out and about in crowded indoor spaces and people aren't wearing masks as they are not, and you want to wear a high-quality, well-fitting mask, that is an effective additional way to protect yourself against getting COVID-19. But the virus is never going away. And so I do believe that pretty much everybody will get COVID-19 at some point. But luckily, we're in a place where that's much less dangerous.
We're speaking with Drs. Shira Derone and Sabrina Asumu on Ask the Doctors here on Radio Boston. I want to pick up on a thread of what Dr. Derone just said, Dr. Asumu. In reading about long COVID, and we'll get to that in a little bit, one of the articles I was reading today reemphasized that when someone has COVID or gets COVID, you can see effect on the heart, you can see effect on the brain. As someone who has had COVID, it now makes me think, well, I felt safe from hospitalization and death, but maybe I should be trying really, really, really hard not to get COVID at all, and that we should be better emphasizing fighting people getting the illness. Do you understand my question?
I understand your question. I think that I've been on this show quite a few times.
Yes, you have.
And I think you know my stance. My stance is that we are in a better place than we've been. We have a lot of different measures, but there's still so much we don't know about COVID and the long-term implications. And you're right. We're seeing new onset diabetes. We're seeing brain shrinkage. We're seeing heart attacks. There's just so much that we don't know. And at a time when cases are high, it is I would say a good idea to use as many layers as possible so that as we're uncovering more and as we have hopefully more treatments for long, we have treatments for long, we currently don't have any, but when we actually have treatments for long COVID, we could sort of understand the process and what's going on. But, you know, there's just so much that we don't know about this condition that trying to remain as cautious as possible is probably the right approach. And also, even if you've had COVID already, you know, and you don't have long COVID, you know, there are some data out there that if you get, you know, the more infections you get, the reinfection could increase your chances of potentially getting, you know, long COVID and other complications.
So, Dr. Derone, does that underscore that perhaps we ought to be implementing, as the weather gets colder, some of the avoidance practices that had been public policy in the past and we've stepped back from?
Well, I'm not sure. You know, I mean, this question of long COVID, this question of, you know, is there cumulative potential damage? How does that change with vaccination? It's a really big black box still that needs so much more research, and I'm glad to see that more resources have been dedicated to this in the form of NIH-funded studies that are going to be ongoing. There is so much conflicting data on this. Everybody needs to assess their own risk tolerance, keeping in mind the lack of understanding of this phenomenon. We saw a lot more of that vascular damage, cardiac damage, pulmonary emboli before vaccines, before there was broad immunity from most of the population being infected. We're seeing a lot fewer new cases like that. I hope that's a good sign, but we need better epidemiologic study to understand what the landscape is out there.
So I do want to turn our attention now to vaccines, and we're asking the doctors with experts from Tufts Medical Center and Boston Medical Center here on Radio Boston. Back to our texting group, Dr. Asumu, Virginia and Methuen has a question about the bivalent booster, the one that is targeted towards Omicron and rolling out across Massachusetts now. Quote, ask them what testing on humans has been done prior to this rollout, end quote.
This is an excellent question. I am so glad that it's being asked. So what it is that we do know? So number one, we know that the mRNA technology has been heavily tested with our current vaccines. We have millions of people who've received this vaccine in this country. We also have even more people who've received it overseas. So we know that it is safe. Now let's talk about the bivalent. So first of all, what are the bivalent vaccines? So it's a vaccine that has two components. One of them is targeting the ancestral strain, which is the original virus that first circulated initially at the beginning of the pandemic. And then the second component is targeting the version of the virus that's currently circulating here, like the BA4, BA5. What is it that we do know about the bivalent vaccines? It has been tested in humans for the BA1 version, and it's performed very well in humans for the BA1 version. We do not have testing in humans for the BA4, BA5 version of this vaccine, but we do know that the technology and approach of using a bivalent vaccine is safe. So the decision from the FDA was, we would like to use that technology, the bivalent technology, and use the current version of the virus that's currently circulating. So that's why the decision was made to use a BA4, BA5 in this country, as opposed to what the Europeans are doing, which is they're using the BA1 version. I personally think that it was probably a good approach in terms of we use preclinical data for vaccines such as the flu vaccine. We don't test them in humans every single year for picking the strains. We use preclinical data to make that decision. So
if I understand you, it's based on one that has been tested on humans and has good clinical data. And like the flu shot, when we tweak it for whatever the dominant strain is, as with the flu shot, because it was built on previous clinical data, we go ahead and to use it. Is that right, Dr. Osumu?
Exactly. That is correct. Because there's a lot of information coming out there. And I think people are probably getting nervous because they're like, well, this hasn't been tested in humans. And I think what is important to emphasize is that we had to make a decision as to which version we were going to use. And there are data showing that we would save a lot of hospitalizations, a lot of deaths, if we implement this measure early and we have good uptake. So that's why that decision was made.
We are asking so many questions of the doctors this hour with Dr. Shira Durone, who is an epidemiologist at Tufts Medical Center, and Dr. Sabrina Osumu, an infectious disease specialist at Boston Medical Center. So many, many questions about these new bivalent boosters, which we were just talking about a few minutes ago. Let's talk about timing a little bit. So here's Joanne, Dr. Durone in Charlestown, who in our texting group asked, how should I time taking the flu shot and the updated COVID booster for maximum protection through the fall and winter? I am a healthy 65-year-old.
Yeah. So you may have heard a quote from Dr. Ashish Jha, who is the White House COVID response coordinator, who said, God gave us two arms so you could get a COVID vaccine in one and a flu vaccine in the other. You know, the point of that was really to say that you can get them at the same time. And, you know, that it might make sense to encourage some people to get them at the same time because it's convenient and they may not return for the other one. The question always comes up, when's the best time to get the flu shot? And the answer is we can't know because we don't know when and how fast flu is going to ramp up. Now, we do worry that when you get your flu shot, it might wane if flu season goes long into the spring. And it did that this past year. We were still seeing circulating flu at decent levels until June. And so if you had gotten your vaccine in early September, it's possible that it wasn't really giving you maximum protection anymore when flu was still circulating. That being said, you could wait and find that flu ramps up quickly. There was a pretty substantial flu season in the Southern Hemisphere, and so it could come here at any moment, ramp up quickly, and it takes 2 weeks to get the maximal effect once you get vaccinated. So you don't want to wait too long or delay either. So some people say October is optimal timing, but I really try not to split hairs about that. I think it's perfectly fine if you're going to get your bivalent COVID vaccine booster to get the flu vaccine at the same time.
And you talked about sort of October for flu, but really not. Same with this booster. We get so many questions about, well, should I game this, Dr. Osumu? Should I wait until closer to Thanksgiving, for example, closer to the holidays for maximum protection?
You know, this is a good question. And I was actually having a discussion with another infectious disease colleague. So I think there may be some, you know, differing advice that people would get from different people. So, but what is clear to me is if you're at higher risk for getting severe disease from COVID-19, so meaning if you're 65 and older, or you're 50 and you have some underlying conditions, and it's been at least 2 months since you had your last COVID vaccine, for that particular group that's at higher risk, I would say try to get it as soon as possible so that you want to be protected at a time when there are a lot of cases in the community. So that's number one. If you're younger and you don't have any underlying conditions, it may be reasonable to try to time it with at a time when you know that you'll have more potential exposures. But there's one thing I've learned from this virus: when you try to strategize, you often fail. So I think, I mean, even let me give you a perfect example. You know, my daughter was due for her booster. I think it was over the summer, and I was like, oh, do I wait for next fall? And it was June, cases were lower. And I went ahead, I was like, you know what, let me just give it to her so that I'm like, you know, we're following the data how it was given. And I'm actually glad I did. They ended up being a cluster the last day of school.
Wow.
In her class. And I'm not really sure like exactly how she ended up being fine. But, you know, if she had gotten infected in that particular cluster because I hadn't boosted her, I would have been, you know, unhappy. But I'm just saying it's really hard sometimes to game the system and to try to outsmart this virus. Just, you know, when you're eligible, just go ahead and get it.
And Dr. Derone, forgive me if this is an overly simple question, but does the new bivalent booster actually help keep you from getting COVID? Or as with previous boosters, is it mostly severe illness and death?
Well, all of the vaccines raise your antibody levels, and it's your antibody levels that are the first line of defense against infection. So yes, we oversimplify it sometimes and we say the vaccines are to prevent severe disease and death, because that is certainly what they do best. But there is a period of time where you have a non-zero level of protection against infection. And that is one of the reasons why the vaccines have been updated to cover the currently circulating strains, is that although the vaccines we already took were protecting us against severe disease and death, there is a hope that at the time when the virus is circulating at a high level, i.e. what we expect to happen in the cold weather, fall and winter, there will be more protection against infection, which in turn will stem the tide of a potential surge.
So Dr. Sabrina Osumu, Valerie in Kingston texted us from our texting group, quote, "My husband and I got the bivalent booster last Tuesday. He had no side effects, but I felt terrible on Wednesday, worse on Thursday. I took a COVID test Friday morning, which was positive, exclamation point. Question, will I still get the expected immunity from the booster?" End quote.
Oh, that's a good question. You know, usually with the initial, so I will first say by saying, I don't know I don't know of any data with this particular bivalent vaccine. But what I would say is that, you know, we usually say, you know, 2 weeks when you're first getting, you know, vaccines in general. But what we've seen with the prior boosters is that actually within a few days of getting, you know, your booster, there's actually some impact. And I hope that she's doing well.
I do too. You know, every time somebody gets sick with COVID, it's almost becoming de rigueur, but we do. We hope the best every time, and we're so glad the two of you can join us to answer these questions. Dr. Derone, Carly in Melrose wants to know about kids. My child is under 5, getting her first round of vaccines. Will they cover the new strains that are covered in the new booster shot? Because, of course, kids under 5 don't qualify for this new bivalent booster.
Right. And so no one is allowed to get the bivalent shot as a primary series at this time. And Dr. Marks from the FDA spoke about this at length during a call with the CDC on Saturday. You know, they would like to see more human data. They would like to see some human data from this exact formulation of bivalent vaccine before they allow it to be used as a primary series for people who are unvaccinated. But they do hope to allow that, you know, over the next few months. They also do plan to authorize these bivalent vaccines as boosters for younger age groups, really in a relatively short period of time. They expect that to be on the order of weeks for the 5 to 11s, and then, you know, the youngest kids, potentially by the time they're eligible for the booster, i.e. 2 months later, could have access to that.
So, Dr. Osumu, we have time for sort of a two-sentence answer on this question from AJ in Quincy. Quote, "For those who have received the monkeypox vaccine or are considering getting vaccinated from monkeypox, should there be a gap between the monkeypox vaccine and the new COVID booster?" So basically, is it like the flu shot, you can get them at the same time? Or super briefly, Dr. Osumu, do you want to space them out?
Yeah, Phil, this is actually one of those times when you want to space things out. So the CDC says, wait 4 weeks between your monkeypox and your COVID shot, because we're trying to limit the potential impact on the heart. So, yes.
All right. That has been Dr. Sabrina Sumu, infectious disease specialist at Boston Medical Center, assistant professor at Boston University School of Medicine, along with Shira Durone. Dr. Shira Durone, epidemiologist at Tufts Medical Center, associate professor at Tufts University School of Medicine. The two of you over the years now are so generous with your time. Thanks for joining us today for Ask the Doctors.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much.